another episode of Real Problem with Chester Missing. I'm your host, Chester Missing. You're watching a ball of latex on the internet. I know, it's dirty and fun. The deputy president of South Africa, Paul Mashatile, was given a diamond ring for his wife by a diamond dealer, Louis Liebenberg, who is now in jail. The former police minister, Becky Cele, stayed in a luxury apartment of tenderpreneur and accused gangster Kat Matlala, and an entire group of DA politicians went on a paid-for trip to Israel so they could come back and tell us, oh, there's no apartheid there, even though we can all see there is clearly apartheid there. I don't know what the hell's going on. Ramaphosa himself had 10 million rand from a Sudanese businessman that he hid in his frickin' couch. South Africa, this is insane. You know that setting that you have in your brain that warned you, this is a cuck idea? And maybe later I'll bath the toaster. Your brain goes, no, no, that's a cuck idea. Our politicians don't have that setting. If you're a politician and someone offers you a gift, the answer is always no. What if it's just a chappies, Chester? No, futsak, no chappies for you, especially if you're the Minister of Higher Education. Guys, you have to have been following the news to get that joke. To explain it all, I have a well-known radio personality and social commentator and the CEO of Dad Jokes, my friend Lester Kivett. Hey, Lester, how's it going?
How are you doing, Chester? Nice to be here.
It's an honor, man. So if someone offered you an all-expenses-paid holiday to Israel so you could come back and lie, what would you say?
I have been offered and I have said no.
They offered you a trip to Israel?
I have.
Look. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. They'll let you take anyone.
It was many years ago, but I expressly said no. Look, I don't see anything wrong by taking junkets or paid for trips as long as they are declared. I have gone on US State Department trips. I have gone on European Union sponsored trips.
Why would they take you on the trip, Lester? What would that be for?
Well, it's all in the realm of soft diplomacy. Instead of us dropping bombs on you, let's drop dollars on you. And what would you rather prefer?
Dollars!
Of course!
Give me dollars! I want your money!
But yeah, I've been on trips to the US. I've been on EU-sponsored trips for young African journalists. I've even been the Baikonur Cosmodrome, sponsored by the Russian.
The what?
The Baikonur Cosmodrome. It's where they shoot the rockets from.
Oh, wow.
In Kazakhstan, Russia. In Russia, in the former Soviet Union. So I have been on trips, declared, and have declared to my employers, sought permission. But here's the thing. After centuries of colonialism and imperialism, I am not going to get my personal reparations back. I might as well take your money on a great trip.
There we go.
A little bit from
there we
it.
Go. You're not going to get the land, so you might as well get a trip to some rural place in Russia. What a genius that Lester Kivett is, how skeptical he is of our politicians for ever giving you the land. Clearly, he's not voting MK.
Look, it is a minefield, particularly when we talk about influence around the world. And the United States has been particularly good at it.
Yeah.
Before, of course, Donald Trump.
Yeah.
When we talk about USAID, it has very little to do with aid. It's got everything to do with the Americans' soft power around
yeah.
the world. Again, what would you rather want, dropping bombs or dropping dollars? And that is to massage some U.S. influence. But here's the thing, and I think I'm quite a rational and level-headed and, of course, very vase person. Of course I know what you're offering me. I'm going to take your money and still write shit about you.
Oh, I see. So what you should have done, Glynis Breitenbach and Liam What's-His-Face, you should have gone there, had a nice holiday there by the Red Sea on Israel's expense, and then come back. Oh, you racist apartheid arseholes. That's what they should have done.
You got the money.
Yeah, you get the money and then I'll tell the truth. Listen, Paul Mashatile's son has a house that's worth 38 million rand. His son-in-law, Gate and Son, just bought a 50 million rand soccer team. Why are the relatives of our politicians so amazingly good at business?
It comes, I guess, with the birth certificate. If your parent is in politics, all of a sudden you have an MBA to do business. But it is really not just a South African thing. Around the world, in post-democracy societies of oligarchical, tenderpreneur classes. You are going to see people take advantage of the proximity of the state. But let's not just keep it at family members. Don't you think it's weird that in South Africa we've somewhat normalized our politicians being friends with literal gangsters?
It's wild! It's bloody wild! We literally now found out from Kwanazi that we have Becky Kele staying in Vusimuzi Kat Matlala's flat there in a luxury apartment there in Pretoria. We see Paul Mashatile, and we've had allegations of drug money going on there. Why? Gayton McKenzie? Now Kenny Kunene was there. He was found at the house of the guy who allegedly murdered DJ. What the hell is going on? Why are these gangsters
Listen
in with our politicians?
Kenny Kunene, found at the home of an alleged hitman, he said that he was only transporting journalists.
Oh my God!
But as the MMC of transport in the city of Joburg, wasn't he actually just doing his job?
That's what transport. He should have said. It's service delivery. In your face.
Exactly.
Delivering transport.
But did you see Kenny Kunene in the interviews? He had 2 watches on his wrist.
Why? Why?
Kenny,
why?
Kenny really knows how to rock out with his clocks out.
Oh, there we go. I'm out. That's a better joke than you wrote, white guy. That's hilarious. He rocks out with his clock out. Clock me harder. We all know what Kenny's clock looks like. Oh. His name's Gayton McKenzie. Listen, South Africans are in severe poverty, right? Mm. We're in severe poverty. Should we be offended that our president had 10 million rand untaxed money in his couch? Or is he just a businessman and that's where businessmen always keep their money?
Of course, it is a worry when the people who are leading governments, not just here in South Africa, but around the world, are billionaires, whether it be Rand billionaires or whether it be dollar billionaires. People always say we need to elect the president directly from the population. I say no, because invariably you'll have politicians with access to vast sums of money who will be running in those elections. It means that those who can afford to pay will play. Fucked up that line there.
It's okay. We enjoyed it. And we'll go viral. Oh, there's Lester Kivett working out how to say pay or play. Oh, yeah. It sounds like something you see on an OnlyFans page. Pay or play with Lester Kivett. Oh, but you are right. This is what I'm confused by. Listen, don't you think the whole scandal about... Let's start with this. News 24 is always exposing how much money the family of our politicians have. Is News 24 just policing black wealth, or is it fair comment?
No, I have very good friends. I actually, some of my best friends know people who work at News 24.
Sounds like something racist to say. Some of my best friends are journalists.
Look, it is in the public interest to know exactly what's going on in the affairs of politicians, especially a politician like Paul Mashatile, who could be the next president of South Africa. But here is the question I ask you, Chester. Would you rather have Paul Mashatile, or would you rather have a Patrice Motsepe, who is also a billionaire in his own right? What do we want? Only people who are running for leadership positions in the ANC are billionaires, and we need to be worried about that. We have 50% of children born in South Africa, 50% of children under the age of 6 are in families, households that earn less than 1,400 rand a month.
That's insane. That just say obscene. That stat again. 50% of South Africans,
50%
kids, are born into houses where the 1,400 rand is all that comes in per month.
Let me reword that for you. There are about 50% of 6-year-old children live in households where the average monthly income is 1,400 rand a month. Income equality.
That's insane. That is a DSTV. That's as much as a DSTV, DSTV subscription each month. You can either have food or you can have DSTV. This is insane.
There's a great graph by a department called Saldru and the economics department at UCT. It asks you to put in your household income, how many dependents you have, and then spits it out on the graph on where you fall in terms of South Africa's income strata. If you earn 10,000 rand a month, guess in which percentage point you are.
The top 15%.
If you earn more than 10,000 rand a month, you are better off than 92% of South Africa.
Oh, my God.
Think about that.
Oh, my God. Oh, God, you're just making me sad. It's meant to be a comedy podcast, Lester. You are about as exciting as a train wreck. Oh, my God. I'm going to have erectile dysfunction for a month after hearing that. And I'm a puppet, so I didn't even know I could get an erection. That is horrific. If you have 10,000 rand a month coming in, you're in the top what?
You're top 8% of this country.
Oh, my God, I can't handle. This is the most unequal place on earth. Why is Kenny Konene wearing people's entire year's salary on his wrist?
Yeah.
Twice!
But look, I'm not here to police anyone's hard-worked gains. And people who have wealth, they should do with what they please. But we also have to be very cognizant in this country how people obtain their wealth, not just after 1994, but also that generational wealth, that Broederbond money.
Yep.
If your father was a former editor of Rapport, you have to ask where your money came.
Look, where did the money come from? It's an apartheid system, that isn't a system. I mean, that's quite an overt example of apartheid privilege. But if your dad just had a job, for example, as an actuary, I'm talking to you, asshole, that would have been a form of benefit because his dad went to a job that only white people could apply to. So that's the same thing, isn't it?
Jessa, I want to ask you a favor. Do you have 12 million rand for me?
I just have to phone this guy who lives in Joburg. His name's Pussy. I mean, Cat.
Because here's what I want to do. You know those Gupta mansions?
Yes. Those things that they can't sell now.
I want to buy one of those and let's you and I and maybe hundreds of thousands of South Africans just give a 200 rand and let's build a museum of corruption.
That is a genius
in
idea.
South Africa, and use one of the Gupta's mansions. And we don't start in 1994. Do you know who South Africa's first corrupt politician is?
I need to know. Was his name Jan van Riebeck?
Ding, ding, ding. We have a winner. Jan van Riebeck.
The Get your head down.
Corrupt
Sorry.
Politician in South Africa. And it doesn't end there. Willem Adrian van der Stel, Lord Charles Somerset, Cecil John Rhodes, all guilty as hell of some sort of fraud and corruption.
We want to act like it's, this is what the narrative is. Oh, look at these black politicians that just arrived and started being corrupt. As though the system wasn't corrupt to start with. As though we weren't colonized by an actual company that sent its money back to the throat, which is literal corruption.
We are a country that's built on crime and corruption. There's this great book called Rogue's Gallery, History of Corruption in South Africa.
Wow. I need to read that book.
By Nick Dahl and Matthew Blackman, who goes through quite systematically.
The brass names and Matthew Blackman.
Exactly.
Is he white?
They both are, yes.
Oh, my God! Only in South Africa will you have a famous author whose name is Blackman. And he's not. He's got surname Blackface. That's fantastic. But well done to them. Nick Dawes is amazing. Used to be editor of the Mail and Guardian. That's amazing.
No, that's Nick Dawes.
Nick Dawes. What's his name?
Nick Dawe.
Nick Dawe.
Nick Dawe.
So it's almost.
Almost,
just
yes.
One door.
One door. But they even have a fascinating story of Oom Paul Kruger, that when the city of Pretoria was being built and was the capital of the Zuid-Afrikaanse Republic and then became the capital of what then became the Union of South Africa, Oom Paul was a tendrepreneur because he was giving out contracts to build all the roads and railway and infrastructure to his sons and sons-in-laws who couldn't, like many people in current day Limpopo, can't build a road for shit. So
no.
Who was their first entrepreneurs in South Africa? It was Oom Paul Kruger.
Oom Paul Kruger, you heard it first here. The corruption started with white people, and there's a fact. Now we've got to stop being racist about it and fix the country. Oh, no, it's not our idea. Yes, it was. Those white people were the Springbok captains of corruption. They were the Siyokolisis of corruption, and Cecil John Rhodes must footsack, and so must his statue. Listen, I want to talk about this. Should we still be using the words colored? Are colored people not just black? Is mixed race not more accurate? What do you think?
I can be the Schrodinger's cat of Steve Biko black consciousness.
Oh, yeah.
I am culturally coloured in the experience that I shared for people who look like me, who grew up in neighbourhoods like me,
yep.
who talk like me. I have a shared experience and culture. But I'm a black South African. If I were to step just outside of this country into the broader world, they won't know. They won't say, oh, this is a Cape coloured South African man. No, they would say there's a black man.
Black guy, like, yeah.
He's over there, Donald Trump. If I were to go to the
US,
if I were to go to the US, they would say there's a black man who's running away from ICE agents. So I think particularly in Cape Town, you can have this dual identity of at the very, very same time saying I'm coloured because I share the experience of people who look and sound like me in this city. But at the same time, I can also say I'm a proud South African black man.
What do you call a coloured person who thinks that they are white?
What?
Portuguese! Hey, what do you call a coloured person who identifies as black?
What?
Jay something from Mikasa. That's the joke that's going to get me cancelled. No, but I mean, I want to ask you a couple of serious questions. A lot of people who identify as coloured really, 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 really love Gayton McKenzie.
Oh.
Why are they making such cuck life choices?
Because the ANC abandoned coloured voters after 1994, after the disbanding of the United Democratic Front, in which coloured people in coloured communities, remember the UDF was founded in Mitchell's Plain, after 1994,
yeah,
the ANC abandoned what's called the national question. And ever since then, coloured people have been made to feel firstly used to get to use so that we could build this mass anti-apartheid movement, and then abandoned after 1994. Look, I'm not in opposition to affirmative action, employment equity. I will say this. I'm a beneficiary. Why? Because laws were created, tax incentives were given to the companies that employed me as a young journalist to say, if you employ A, B, and C from X, Y, and Z community, we'll give you a tax incentive.
So are you from X, Y, and Z community?
I'm X, Y, and Z.
There's a new place we live. It's like an LGBT community, but further along the line.
And that
but that's a good thing, Lester. No, I mean, that gave opportunities that this little white guy below me would already have gotten. So,
and I think it's absolutely short-sighted for someone to say, oh, I want to be selected on merit. You are selected on merit. It's just that there's added weight to your historical circumstances. And maybe there should be a sunset clause on that, yes, but not just yet. There are still many black South African kids who are disproportionately negatively affected, not only on the consequences of apartheid, but also the inadequacies and the failures of the ANC government.
Exactly, exactly. Merit is not merit unless you acknowledge that some people were kicked out their homes and had all their wealth taken from them. You stupid bloody idiots. It's not rocket science. In this case, it actually could be rocket science. Listen, Gay, you know,
Can I just say something? It's quite ironic.
Yes, I need you to say something.
We are in the shooting at the College of Magic.
College of Magic in Cape
Claremont.
In Claremont.
Just down the road in Arfield Village. Also, some magic happened in the 1970s. Colour people were told to close their eyes, open again, and their homes were gone.
Unbelievable. It's just 200 meters. It's a magic trick that you couldn't imagine. We will make your entire livelihood disappear. Hey, abracadabra!
House
oh
gone.
My God, your house is gone. The magic disappearing house, product of the nationalist government. Welcome to South Africa. A shit show with a flag. Listen, Gayton is clearly problematic. He's literally a criminal. He was a criminal. Now his son magically owns a 50 million rand football team. If it was any more fishy, it would be a product at I&J. Why are we okay with that?
There's this peculiar circumstance in the coloured community that goes that as soon as you criticise another coloured person, you are breaking them down. I think that's absolutely rubbish. We have to take each politician on their own background and their own merit. Gaetan McKenzie, as popular as he is, has not only a history of which he has probably atoned and served his sentence.
No,
as
absolutely,
a bank
we can't
robber,
judge him twice.
But there are plenty of instances of how we got deals in gold mines in Johannesburg in Gauteng. Contracts that were meant to go to paying out struggling mine workers. Gaetan McKenzie got contracts. We have to ask how, and we have to ask what happened with that money that should have gone to mine workers. But we also have to ask. There have been a number of reports, like the Mail and Guardians, has reported on how the Patriotic Alliance's founding in El Dorado Park may have been bankrolled by gang money, and these are reports that have never been contested by the Patriotic Alliance. We have to look here in Cape Town. The leader of the party here in this city, who actually ran for Cape Town mayor, is the daughter of a now slain 27's gang member who was on trial with Donkey Boyson and Mark Liffman and Andre Nodier. He's now the third person who was on trial to have been killed. Red Stevens. Look up that name. So,
Red Stevens. I don't know that name. So this is guy's the son. So this mayoral candidate in Cape Town was the son of this guy.
Was the daughter of this
the
guy.
Daughter of this guy. So I mean, that doesn't necessarily mean she's a criminal, but it is
it
a weird
not,
connection.
But there have been reports of the broader connections of what appears to be less than legitimate business and industry. And the Patriotic Alliance has never answered these questions directly. Also,
no, they don't answer any questions. They just run away and then claim that Gaetan's giving all his money away to poor people and they never show the receipts.
We also have to ask Gaetan McKenzie and his style of leadership within the Patriotic Alliance. I am a Democrat. I believe in internal democracy.
Absolutely.
That the best and brightest.
I have internal democracy. And boy, can I tell you, Gaviscon helps.
And that Gaetan McKenzie openly says he's a dictator. That there are no elections in the Patriotic Alliance.
There aren't elections in the Patriotic Alliance.
There aren't elections in the Patriotic Alliance. And Gaetan McKenzie.
That's insane.
That's right.
No wonder Kenny Cornelli has to wear two watches, because he really does not have time.
He doesn't have time at all. And so I wonder about the internal democracy. Well, there is none within the Patriotic
Alliance. Well, Gaetan's anti-BE, he's pro-Israel, he's basically the freedom front for people with melanin. Why are colored people falling for this right-wing racist bullshit?
Since 2011, we've had an increased number of political parties that speak to people's narrow cultural aspirations, whether it be the Freedom Front Plus, whether it be the Patriotic Alliance, whether it be the Cape Coloured Congress. People have been drawn away from big tent churches like the ANC and like the Democratic Alliance. They are conflicting ideologies within the DA as well. But people have been drawn away from that, and they have seen, they are people who look like me, sound like me, feel as victimized as me. And parties like the Patriotic Alliance have taken advantage of this.
Listen, man, whether it's Afrikaana or Zulu or Gaetan's version of the coloured, South Africans always seem to be falling for populist, racialized identity politics. People put up with absolutely any cuck. If you're doing it for Afrikaners, they'll just pretend to like Steve Hoffmeyer's music. That's how much. No, I do like it. Don't talk cuck. You just like the fact that he's protecting your identity. Why are we so committed to identity, racialized politics in this country?
Because it's an important part of who we are in our communities. Look, our communities, our schools are still demographically segmented. We still racialize our communities. Very few of us socialize outside with other people outside of our workspaces.
Yep.
And so we still very much feel attached to those who are around us. I am happy to say that the answer here in Cape Town, and Cape Town is the first, let me say, it's the ultimate apartheid city. It was designed to be the perfect apartheid city and still lives with that legacy. But I am very happy and pleased to report that with local so-called colored people, white people, black African people, but also the children of African migrants have the opportunity to really make this a city where we all can share. I love the fact that a language like Cups, and you had Dylan Valley on.
Yeah, it was amazing. Talking about the original Afrikaans. Really,
that's
Cups,
right,
yeah.
Cups. And my favorite thing is if I walk through the streets of Cape Town and in front of me, there's a group of school children who are quite clearly the children of African migrants. And all the
why, Lester? What about the made you know that? Oh! Good luck answering that question and not getting fired. No, but we know what you mean.
What
keep talking.
I appreciate is that all I hear is Awe Mebru.
Yeah.
And I can go to many parts, even traditionally so-called Model C schools in Cape Town, and I see young Capetonians sharing that common language, and I think that is going to be the key to us, along with the economic stimulation of our underserved communities, but telling kids they have far more in common than they have that separates them. And if you can maybe find a link between language, pop culture, if we can call that a Cape Town identity, and I'm incredibly provincialistic, I must say. I'm not
yep.
a Cape exit, please.
You're not one of those. Canada. We want to be part of South Africa, but we want to be our own people.
But I'm a Western province before I am a Freistaat. So I am saying that we have an opportunity in this city to use young people to bring the city closer together.
Mandla.
I'm sorry for
that.
The Joburg people. I have to admit, Chester.
We're sorry for you guys. Sorry for you with your potholes and your lack of traffic lights and your nothing that works.
Not
that we have things that work in Khayelitsha either, but we know what you mean. You know, my only concern with that, Lester, and we're going to wind up now. My only concern with that is that not all people are aware of the difference between some young kids, people of color, or young, even some white kids there in the southern suburbs of Cape Town using words like our. But they need to do it in a way that isn't a mockery of identity. It's an inclusion within identity. In other words, most of the people using it are people of color. The normalized conversation is anti-racist as opposed to laughing at an identity. And sometimes with older white people, they sometimes, not all of you, so calm down. They sometimes don't see the difference between the people you describe, some people of color, young people like I was saying, Awe Mebru, as opposed to an old white person walking up to a colored person saying, Awe Mebru, in a way that you can clearly see the racism hiding behind the way that they're otherizing that person instead of being included in the identity. Wow, that was an anthropology lecture now on the internet.
But you used to be a lecturer, Chester.
I was a colored lecturer at UW, well, a performative colored person at UWC, I know. Cancel your ass! Say you're sorry! I'm sorry, Lester. Say you're sorry! I'm sorry, Lester. Yeah, what's that?
Can I make a critique on current day South Africa?
Yes,
not just young people, but we forget too easily. Not too many people remember, and I remember those lectures. I used to attend those lectures at old UWC where you were a political science lecturer.
I remember you.
And not many people do so. You might
thank you. Respect. And thanks for coming on my podcast. How do we follow you, Lester? What is your favorite place for people to follow you?
You can follow me listening to us on 567 Cape Talk. I also have a show called The Bull, which is on the Cape Talk platform on YouTube. I also write for a wonderful show. We've just launched our first episode of season 4. It's called Politically Aware.
I love that show. It's amazing.
It's amazing.
Funny politics. It's informed. It's brilliant. And it's won awards. And I support it completely. And you, do we follow you on Twitter or Instagram or Pornhub? Where's your vibes?
I'll drop you my OnlyFans link after the show.
I can't wait. I love you, Lester. Thanks for coming on the podcast.
Chester.
You're a genius. Remember to like, follow, and subscribe. Make sure you put a comment. Let us know who you want us to talk to next. Well, I'll talk to anyone except for Gareth Cliff and Ronaldo Gous and who's that other Rob Hersoff. The rest of you can arrive. The other of you can footsack. Bye. Thanks for coming, Lester.
That was so good.
You smell like Cape Talk.
Oh, white people.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I can smell the Constantia. Smells like Paul Mashatile's house, if I'm not going to lie.
Oh, my God.
No, but it was great having you. Thanks for coming on the show. Fun. I know it was silly.
You go squint a little when you really drill.
I am. My eyes, it's the way they're glued. You got to understand, there's a guy who glues them. If it doesn't look, then look, I'm a bit skilled. Look there. I look like Helen Zille after too much Botox.
All I wanted was a kiss.
Oh, my lips don't work. I'm sorry. That was the weirdest. It got weird now. I'm up. Go to his porn up page for more details.